Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
We're live on YouTube, on Twitter, on wherever, Rumble, about to be live on Rockfin when that little red button goes live. I'm joined by Ian. Thanks for joining me today, Ian. We were just talking.
Hey, what's going on?
No, we're talking about some woke improv before the show.
What
maybe
time
we'll
is?
Well, it's time for the show.
It's time for the show. Showtime. Okay.
You see, Ian got himself a spaceship.
Yeah. Flying around in space, everybody.
So we only podcast from space.
Yeah. This one's pretty nice, too.
It's a very good one. So you kind of up and you can look down. Is that the one where, do you have a, no, see my employee over my left shoulder here?
Oh, right there? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I told mine to go take a break that, I didn't want them distracting me.
Yeah, yeah, so that's my only one. All the other ones are too woke. I fired them all. That's a trooper back there. She's not a feminist.
Nice.
Let's dive in. This guy, a lot going on today, this week. Could Nikki Haley replace Biden? The AI training simulation, or not AI, excuse me, the AT&T training simulation. That's what I think it was anyway. And an update on that fanny. This is Propaganda Report's Drive Time News Blast. I'm Brad Binkley. Let's go ahead and dive in with the top story. The South Carolina primary is tomorrow, and who cares?
Yeah.
Because Trump is going to win the nomination, unless something happens. But is it the GOP nomination that Nikki Haley is really after, is a question that I have. Or is she after the more attainable nomination, the Democrat nomination, if Biden were to step aside? And here's why I think this. I noticed this a while ago. I said a couple months ago that Nikki Haley could switch parties, run as a Democrat, and they'd slot her in if something happened to Biden. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to see some signals of that.
She's a Hillary Clinton. She's totally Hillary Clinton.
You know, she scissors Hillary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Scissoring camp with Hillary.
Yeah.
Her entire campaign has appealed to Democrats. Half of her votes come from Democrat crossover votes. Like, her campaign has been geared towards getting Democrat crossover votes. And when she's on the campaign trail, she's reminding Democrats, you can vote in this election if it's not a crossover voting state. You can vote in either, or if you didn't vote, in your own. So that means that there's people who are at her rallies that are Democrats and not Republicans.
What happens to AOC when Nikki Haley becomes the Democratic nominee?
She comes over here, dude. Comes to hang out with me.
AFC comes over there and hangs out?
Yeah, she comes to talk about everything. And
she'd be fun to have on the show.
I think that AOC would probably be fun to go out drinking with. I think she'd be a nightmare to spend any more than 48 hours with.
100%.
Yeah. So Nikki also is praised by the Democrats. They love her. CNN loves her. SNL promotes her. And Gavin Newsom earlier today was praising her and saying he's glad she's staying in because she's doing the right thing. And most telling to me about how I believe they might be priming everyone on the left anyway to accept a Nikki Haley candidate is they let her parade around on their networks with this talking point, these Democrat networks, saying, I'm a person of color who grew up being discriminated against. I mean, but she'll go on to these shows. I mean, Nikki Haley, I don't care if she's African-American. I mean, Elon Musk is South African. He doesn't walk around saying he's a person of color. Yet Nikki Haley, who looks like a white redneck that grew up in Snellville, Georgia, goes on these networks and is interviewed by these black women.
My favorite spice is curry.
Right.
Okay.
She's talking about how she grew up as a woman of color with people judging her for the color of her skin. And these anchors, these black women, don't laugh her off of the screen. They nod their head and agree as though Nikki Haley and Gayle King, you know, are the same color.
Stuff. Yeah, she's doing the word wizard stuff. She knows what words that go beepity boop 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 and get the nodding the head and all that stuff.
Absolutely. But if it were any other candidate who looked as white as Nikki Haley did.
Yeah.
Like if I went on CNN and said, as a female of color, they go, you're a white guy. I go, as a female of color who grew up, okay, they would laugh me off the stage, but they accept her because I think that they're preparing Democrats to see her in that light. Because
if you came out with a certificate that you cut your penis off and became a woman, you might have a shot.
Yeah, that way you don't have to show it. You just have to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. You start hawking fake penis, you know,
certificates.
Yeah, got rid of it. But she goes out there and they allow her to do that. And if Biden were to be replaced, one of the arguments against you can't replace Biden if you don't replace him with Kamala is one argument that people make. Well, what if you replaced him with another strong female of color? This white looking woman, Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
I think that because yeah. I think they prefer her over Kamala because Kamala's drunk all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to start playing up the, like, I think she'll probably start to wear a little bit more traditional Indian.
Dude, I'm about to show you something.
It's so predictable.
It really is, man.
It's because when you've been in show business this long, you see how bad these guys are at it, but they're doing it.
And you see how bad their wardrobe people are. Which I'll go ahead and put this on screen.
I'm so glad I quit.
Just to show you the outfit she's wearing.
People are ridiculous.
I think, so if it were a movie set, they would probably have a little bit better outfits than this one here.
Yeah. Where's I didn't quit. I'm sorry. I just said I quit acting. I didn't. I just quit auditioning. I'm no longer auditioning for things.
Yeah, we wait for people to call us.
But I just have people. If someone calls, you know, what's it pay?
Yeah, hold on. I gotta get all these other things off screen. I found all of my old audition. I found like hundreds of old audition scripts.
Gosh. I know, we
should like do it like live readings of those.
Oh, that'd be so funny.
All right. So look at this. Look at her outfit here. You can only see her shoulders and up. But do you see this? Like, what are these flap? It's like her wardrobe person was like, They thought this was fly or something like that.
You know, wearing a traditional Indian blazer.
You know, it shows her wearing this, what looks like the wallpaper that might be in a trailer at Myrtle Beach or something like that. Or like a couch from like 1970.
When my parents came to this country, they were wearing blazers like this.
And look at the lighting here. You see the lighting is dark. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you they bronze her. Because she looks like a white lady.
You know? I love Charles Barkley.
Well, I don't know if you're going to love him after you hear this clip. Because what I'm going to play a clip of here in a second for those listening is it's King Charles or whatever it's called, Gayle King and Charles Barkley show on CNN. They brought Nikki Haley on to interview her, and They don't ever let Barkley gets like a couple of questions that they seem to write for him. And then he says basically nothing else, but the things that he's saying and Nikki Haley and throughout this interview, she refers to herself as a person of color. Right. And this is Charles Barkley and Gayle King. This is what I'm talking about. These are two black people. And then you have what looks like a white lady who's a redneck saying, I'm a person of color. I like she can relate to the experience. It's just so convoluted, the way they're trying to manipulate people. Shaquille O'Neal, if this were NBA Tonight, would be mocking the hell out of Charles Barkley for not speaking up and saying something when she kept calling herself a person of color.
That's so funny. You're right. I know.
He's a completely different person on this show than he is on NBA Tonight. That's wild.
Hilarious.
So, yeah, I'll go ahead and play this for you. Let me make sure I... Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'll play this, then I'll show you the article I'm talking about. So this is part of what I'm talking about why I think they're priming everybody, or at least their side, to accept her.
Governor, I'm dying to vote for you.
That was Charles Barkley to Nikki Haley. He's dying to vote for her.
I mean that sincerely. I want to give all my energy and all my heart behind your campaign. But I was upset.
Uh-oh. When?
When you made the reference that you didn't think America had racism. And my question is, I was disappointed, number one, obviously. But I want to give you a chance. Did you say that because you felt like you needed to say that to the audience?
Because all Republicans are racist is the implication there.
Right. Right.
Because I can say, I'm dying to vote for you. And that hurt me. So I would love for you to clarify that, please.
So first of all, I never said that there was not racism in America. There absolutely is racism in America. I said that America was not a racist country. And the whole point of that is, and Charles, you'll appreciate this. When I grew up, the only Indian family in a small rural southern town, we weren't white enough to be white. We weren't black enough to be black. They didn't know who we were, what we were.
I have to stop that. She started that by saying,
we lived in a teepee, right, and rain dances.
She said, Charles, you'll appreciate this. Minority to minority, Charles.
I know.
You know, we're both the same, Charles.
We're just a couple.
That's what she's trying to say there.
Oh, my gosh.
My screen went out. All right, hold on a second. This is bullshit.
My goodness.
Governor.
I think that she was hoping Charles was going to say, I think that her wardrobe people said, yeah, wear this. And Charles will say it's super fly because they just don't understand black people. You know, they have this stereotype. Charles is going to love this jacket you're wearing, Nikki Haley. And she's very disappointed. All right, we're worried about Charles.
Yes, I was disappointed.
Scoot it up a little bit here. Gayle King's not even paying attention.
To the audience, because I would love for you to clarify that, please.
So first of all, I never said that there was not racism in America. There absolutely is racism in America. I said that America was not a racist country. And the whole point of that is, and Charles, you'll appreciate this. When I grew up, the only Indian family in a small rural southern town. We weren't white enough to be white. We weren't black enough to be black. They didn't know who we were, what we were, or why we were there. If my mom had told me that we lived in a racist country, I would have grown up never thinking I could be governor, never thinking I could be ambassador, never thinking I could run for president.
I don't disagree with that.
But my mom always said, your job is not to show them how you're different. Your job is to show them how you're similar. And it's amazing how that lesson on the playground played throughout my life, whether it was the corporate world, as governor, as ambassador, that once I was ever presented with a challenge, if I first talked about the things we had in common, people would let their guard down. And then we could go towards a solution.
Mm-hmm. That jacket she's wearing is awful.
It's awful. Yeah, she said that.
So her point about, you know, not telling people it's a racist country because it will make you feel like you have obstacles against you. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Her campaign, when she's going on here, and they talk about this the rest of the like 7 minutes that this interview goes on, has been based in, I'm a woman, I'm a person of color. Mm. Like nobody knew if you just saw her walking down the street or unless she told you that she was not a white chick. Mm-hmm. Right? She has to tell you repeatedly that she is not white in order for people to recognize that she's Native American. And so that's been the foundation of her campaign. I am a minority and I'm a woman. Yet she's trying to do a message here where it's, oh, well, you don't tell people they're going to be oppressed. But your whole campaign is being built on this idea that you're not white and you're not a male.
Yeah, that she overcame. She overcame the racism in this country. You know, that's her story, is that she overcame racism
to get where she is right here, to wear that asshole jacket.
I don't think she's going to win anyone on the far left because she talks about how her mother told her her job was to be similar.
Right.
And that they do not, they want multiculturalism. That's what they want. They don't want any kind of, singular culture in this country that we can all share. That they don't want any kind of similarity.
Not with her, especially.
No. They want chaos and disorder, and it's really bizarre.
And Haley here, her appeals to the moderate Democrats and
I think probably she is.
The moderate Republicans as well.
The rich Democrats. She's definitely appealing to all the rich
Democrats.
She's
getting funded by them. I think that the LinkedIn guy, one of the guys involved in LinkedIn and what was the other company? Reid Hoffman is the guy's name.
Right.
He has been donating to Nikki Haley, from my understanding. The Democrat big donors have been behind her, just as some of the Republicans were.
I think she might. I mean, she probably has a real shot at winning.
I think they would slot her in tomorrow if Biden were pushed aside. She would be the best candidate for them.
You think she'd be a turncoat? You think she'd
absolutely?
You think she'd run as a Democrat?
This is what I'm saying.
It breaks my heart that after being a Republican for blah bitty blah blah blah,
she doesn't go on like right winning networks and say, as a person of color, and you know, you'll appreciate this because, like, her saying that to Charles Barkley, you'll appreciate this because we're both oppressed minorities. It's such a joke with a woman in a flower jacket looks white, who's wearing a fucking wife beater, who pegs her husband, has lived nothing but privilege her entire life.
You know, I was saying this for a little while now, that I knew this is what the Democrats would do. They would wait till Trump got the absolute sure that he got the lockdown. They're going to bog him down with all these trials, and they were going to do an old switcheroo.
Well, so that's what the prevailing belief is about why Nikki's still in the race. I think she's might still be in there because either way it goes.
It makes no sense. Yeah. She obviously has fuck you money.
She's getting tons of big donor money. Yeah. But she'd be the top candidate to slot in if Trump or Biden were removed, in my opinion. And the other argument that I've seen going around about why Biden's not going to be replaced is because nobody else has built a campaign infrastructure.
Yeah.
Nobody else has been doing brand and name recognition around the country for the past few months. They'd have to catch up. Well, Nikki Haley's done all of that. She has it all set up. Her votes have been mostly Democrats. Like most of in the primaries, it's been crossover votes. She's getting support. She's getting promoted by the Democrats. She would be perfect to slot in, and she could try and justify it to Republicans as, well, we just need to come together and stop this tyrant. And I say Republicans, I'm talking about the anti-Trump Republicans. And there's another article today in the news that also supports this. So here's this article I noticed today. And there's stuff like this every day about Nikki Haley. So Democrat presidential candidate Dean Phillips says he's open to being Nikki Haley's running mate on a unity ticket. This is one of the only guys who is opposing Biden in the primaries because of his age.
Yeah, go ahead.
And he says, let's see here. So he was asked by this radio host about Nikki Haley, and he said that he praised her, and he said that he would, like, isn't that a weird thing to say that he would be her running mate? Instead of the other way around, right? And when you think about that, Nikki Haley, as a woman of color, just like Kamala Harris, she would be the lead on the ticket, and the white man would be the VP. It'd be the flip. It'd be a better situation than Biden and Kamala. More woke.
Oh, way more woke, right? No, I think being the vice president would be the best job in the country. You don't have to do anything.
You get to drink wine and take Xanax.
You go to some funerals. Yeah, you can drink wine, take Xanax. You go to funerals. You talk about space a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
You bring out your gay husband to pretend you guys are love each other.
Talk about how much you love pie charts.
Yeah, pie charts.
And pie charts.
You refer to your children as though you raised these kids who were all adults when you got married.
You talk about your favorite Kwanzaa memories growing up.
Right. And you never mention how you banged your way to the top ever.
Yeah, ever. Not once. And how you put potheads in jail.
Yeah.
So many parents of delinquent students in jail.
Man, I do have to rethink the Kamala Harris. There's a couple shows and her Knights Templar connections and claims that happened back when she was the Attorney General.
She's got that Knights Templar look, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Nikki Haley, though, I'm sure, too. Oh, yeah.
There's all these different branches. I'm sure the Rosicrucians are still around. There's all these different branches of Illuminatis.
Oh, dude. I did a show about the Black Illuminati and Fannie Willis and how Fulton County has been taken over by everybody. She's hired nothing but, like, it's called the Divine Nine, the Black Illuminati.
Oh, she's definitely on the stand, just like, fuck you, I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about an update to that story
My favorite is when she said, you know, where do you mean where I get the money? You go to Publix, you get something, you get $50 back. I'm like, yeah, so where did you get the cash to get $50 back from?
Right. No, she knew what she was doing. People call her stupid. Yeah. She absolutely knew what she was doing up on the stand.
Yeah.
It's interesting to
she's
watch.
So dumb.
Who took down the Guidestones? Dan, I don't know. I saw a story the other day about that. I haven't read it all yet about the Guidestones. Maybe Stacey Abrams might have just walked through the Georgia Guidestones herself and just, you know, obliterated them with her body mass.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You think it was? I like the theory that it was the Illuminati taking it down because now they were enacting it. But then that also doesn't make sense. You'd think they wanted the rules up, right?
Yeah.
Everyone to read.
Yeah. Well, I guess we had time to read it. Maybe
we had time to read it. Yeah, right. Enough time.
If they didn't read it by now, screw
it. Yeah. You got enough pictures of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of weird, though, because it was very, they had a lot of cameras and a lot of security around that thing. You would think they would have been able to figure out who did it. And yeah, all they have is this video of a car.
Right. And the guy's name that he used some pseudonym, and I want to say Rosicrucian was in. Yeah, Rosicrucian was in the.
It's about Ted Turner. Ted Turner used the name.
Yeah.
We're going deep into the Guidestones, Georgia Guidestones, which were blown up, which many think.
Well, I was bummed that I never went to see him live. I was really planning on going to see it.
Yeah, you know, I was.
That just tells you, that just goes to show.
We'll just rebuild it and then we'll go see it.
Live every day like it's your last, you know.
Absolutely.
Don't sit on opportunities like that.
And sit on opportunities like Kamala and Nikki do, which is to her husband's frustrations, I imagine.
I like that he's open to it. He's like, I'm open.
Her husband?
Philip. He's like, I'm open. If Dean Phillips seems like a sweetheart kind of a guy, I'm not saying he'd be a good leader. I don't want that guy to be in charge of anything, but he seems like a nice guy.
No. He's probably a nice guy.
He's probably fun to have a beer with.
Him putting that out there is weird to me that he would say, because he wasn't asked, would you be Nikki Haley's running mate? No. He was just asked about Nikki Haley and he offered up, I would be her running mate as a unity. I don't know who does that. Maybe he recognizes a woman of color would be a stronger lead. But they were talking about, what if we ran as an independent campaign to bring people together and stop all the fighting. And what I'm saying is, if Biden drops out, it seems clear to me that the best choice to replace him is Nikki Haley.
Yeah, for sure.
So look out for that. It's an outside possibility. I think.
What do you think about Newsom? Newsom seems real. I don't think he'd win on a national level.
I don't either, but Newsom was out praising Haley. I mean, Newsom was just as enthusiastic about Haley as this other dude who said he'd be her VP. It wouldn't surprise me if Newsom said he'd be her VP. Mm. I think the Democrats know that if Biden were to drop out, replacing him with a white dude is not going to be their best choice.
If Newsom was her VP, she would die of mysterious causes.
Choking her.
He would poison her, or choking her, like with a pillow. He'd sneak over the wing in the White House.
He would bludgeon her with some DEI award that San Francisco won.
Yeah, he'd hide in like a closet and wait till like the coast was clear at night.
He'd grab his award for most homeless people on the streets as a governor.
And yeah. Or maybe one of his bottles of wine.
JC, oh, I think, yeah. Yeah, and Kamala wouldn't even fight it because she'd be like, break it on my head, I want to drink it. All right, so if you were just talking about Fannie, let's talk about Fannie.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, as a guy, I was a bartender for over a decade, and Kamala Harris is a wine drunk for
absolutely,
sure.
Dude. And she's taking Valium. It's like she's two bottles of red and a Valium deep every time she speaks.
Oh, my gosh.
Every time.
Uh-huh.
Denver Attaway says, was Charles Barkley interviewing Nikki Haley on TV? If so, that's a crowning. Yeah, it's on CNN. Mm. I mean, he's got a show every Wednesday, and it's just to bring up. So NBA viewers, I think they're trying to win over that crowd, and that's probably not the best way to do it, is to bring a white lady out there who pretends to be a person of color. So Fannie Willis, the ongoing case, there's been another hearing scheduled for March 1st by Judge McAfee. who, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last episode I did on Fannie Wells. Judge McAfee, who used to be Fannie Willis's underling in the district attorney's office and who's controlled by Brian Kemp, who hates Trump and sides with Fannie on all of this, it's who CNN loves. He was just interviewed by CNN the other day. Judge McAfee in 2020, when Fannie Willis ran for district attorney, he donated to her campaign. The judge on overseeing the trial and determining whether or not Fannie Willis gets disqualified donated to her district attorney campaign.
Yeah, but Brad, that doesn't mean that he's not going to be objective. That's what I don't understand. Where's your evidence that he wouldn't be objective?
Yeah, right.
Do you have any proof?
No, I guess you're right. I guess him just sacrificing his entire career, maybe his life, not enough proof.
Well,
but the story that came out today regarding Fannie is... Where's that? Okay, there it is. Trump submits cell phone records allegedly showing Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis interactions before hiring. So they were trying to get these phone call records, which what they do is they subpoena these phone call records. Everything you do on your phone is basically can be subpoenaed by the government and used in trial if the judge admits it. And they've been using this in the Brian Koberger case, the Idaho 4 murders guy. And what they did was they had this investigator analyze all of these interactions on Nathan Wade's phone, which showed that he was just spending a lot of time up at Fannie Willis's hideaway house, basically. The house that she went to because she said she was so afraid of gang violence that she left her father and her children there to deal with it during COVID. And according to these filings, the cell phone records show that Wade and Willis, this is great, exchanged over 2,000 phone calls and nearly 12,000 text messages.
Wow.
In an 11-month period, 11 months between January and November of 2021. Fannie Willis didn't hire him to be the special prosecutor until November at the tail end of that. And he was still married during that period of time. He filed his divorce papers in November of that year. 2,000 phone calls. I can't even imagine 2,000 phone calls. Have you ever made 2,000 phone calls with a woman in a year?
And you said 12,000 text messages in 11 months?
Yeah, 12,000.
So over 1,000 text messages a month, over 250. So 250 a week.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, and Mike.
Just a few text messages.
My guess is that he's her.
Yeah.
I think she probably sent him numerous dick pics.
Yeah. Just loaded with dick pics.
Now, I think that she's the Harvey Weinstein of a fat black woman. I'm going to continue saying that. I think that he is the bitch here, and I think that she was in the position of power, obviously, and I think she dangled it over him, and I think she said, you're going to get divorced from your wife, and you're going to screw me, and then I'll give you this position. And then the day after she hires him, he follows through and he files the divorce papers. And then obviously they were screwing before this because he's trying to get the job. You know, I'm sure there were probably a line of other guys also screwing her to try to get the job. And I guess he did the best job. So good job at that.
Right.
Nathan Wade.
He's a big stud. Yeah, she did exactly the same tactic that I would do when I would work with the National Criminal Defense College.
Bang black guys?
Yeah, I would bang black guys, dude, until I got to the top. I would go in there and I would, I did this for a while where I would go in there and play, you know, corrupt government people.
Talking about during mock trials, you would go be the guy on the stand, right?
Yeah. And every time I was getting cross-examined, every time they would corner me, I would just erupt. And, you know, I was an FBI agent a lot of the times. And
did
I
you get
say,
to pick that, what you would be?
No, they were basically like, all right, you're the FBI agent. But I also played a gay Puerto Rican. So there and there were several people that thought I was. But
got a lot of free drinks afterwards.
I did. But the but I would use that as a tactic. I would just erupt. I would be like, well, guess what? While you're out there worrying about whether I dot every I, cross every T, you know, I'm putting terrorists away and you're just letting them walk back out on the street.
Right. I mean, you're, that's what she did. Did they tell you to do that?
No, I would just, they would, this is what the guys would do. The professors would be like, they would either go like, you know, take it easy. These guys are babies. Or someone would be like, these guys should know what they're doing. They're making a whole lot of money. Go hard.
Yeah.
And those were the guys that I would, oh, I would just eat them alive.
That's fun.
So much fun.
That's definitely
so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is exactly what Fanny did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I see people like retweeting saying she didn't even know how to answer. No, she did. She was intentionally.
Oh.
She was filibustering is what she was doing.
Another great filibuster is just do this. I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, totally.
Every single time.
Oh, okay. You just recalled the most specific detail from 4 years ago, but you don't recall what happened this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't recall. I'm sorry. And then she throws the papers on the ground. They should already be disqualified. And that's where this evidence here, I'll get back to this in a minute.
When you're fighting a monster, you have to hire a monster.
Okay. To do what now?
When you're fighting a monster, you have to hire a monster.
So you think we should get Stacey Abrams to go after Fannie Willis?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying that Fannie Willis, she's the monster we need to get the Trump monster.
No, you're right. That is the thinking. That is the thinking.
Yeah.
And
unleash the Kraken.
So listen to some of this other evidence. And this is what they're going to be presenting. And this is what people are getting excited about, hoping that she will get dismissed, which I'm not convinced is going to happen. So they use this geolocation activity that I mentioned. And according to the investigator who examined the data, it revealed a minimum of 35 instances in which Wade's phone connected for an extended period of time, to the towers near a home in Hapeville where Willis was staying at the time when she went over there because she said she was afraid of the gangs that she said were coming after her. And the data also reveals Wade to have been there, not just driving by as a stalker, but to have been there for a while. And what they're going to try to do here, like say this information is relevant because is they're going to say that Wade committed perjury because during his testimony, one of the lawyers nailed him down on. So would you say how many times you had been there? And when you go back and look at it, you can see why. And they got Wade to say, no, I haven't been there more than 10 times. And so they're going to try to get him on perjury for that.
Okay.
Because he's clearly, according to this data, but again, this data, and this is what Fannie Willis's team is going to bring up. They'll have plenty of explanations for this. This is not an open and shut case like people think it is. They will say that there's been plenty of instances of this geolocating data being wrong and pinging random towers, which,
sure.
Yeah, and there's plenty of experts to that too, but the sheer number of pings is going to make it hard to do that. So I actually think that what will happen probably, what they have to show, at least what they're trying to show, is that they're trying to show that one of them lied to get him on perjury, and they're trying to show that there was an improper relationship, which Fannie benefited from by pocketing the money of the Fulton County taxpayer dollars that she gave to Wade, and he then basically gave back to her through gifts and Baconators, like tons and tons of Baconators he paid for her. And she claims that she didn't do that because she paid him back in cash nobody can trace.
Right? Yeah, and she just keeps a little $15,000 walking around money.
She just keeps it, a little walking around money. Just keeps it in her purse. And I don't think that, like, this evidence here of Wade, because some of the evidence says that he was there. Then this was, again, before they hired, before the relationship supposedly started, according to both of them. It showed that he went there at 10:45 p.m. one night and didn't leave until 3:30 in the morning. And then the phone data indicated that he arrived back at his place in Cobb County, which is a pretty good bit away, at 4:05. And then he sent Willis a text message at 4:20, which is the "I got home safely" text message. "Thanks for throwing that pee at me," is what that sounds like to me. And what they'll probably argue is, well, we were doing late work calls. We stay up all night. We got these big cases. We go, you know, 72 hours without sleeping. We are lawyers handling intense cases. These are going to be the arguments. And so the my problem with this evidence is that it's not going to get Fannie. It might get the other guy, they might disqualify the other guy because they were able to pin him down and get him to say he hadn't been there more than 10 times. But that's a sacrifice Fanny is willing to make. She doesn't give a shit about him. But here, it does not show if he stuck it in or not. You can't prove that through this data. So it doesn't show that she lied. And it doesn't show that she got any money from the taxpayers of Fulton County. So all this does is get him. Now, maybe the lawyers have more that they're going to roll out, and they're kind of extending this whole thing out. But it wouldn't surprise me if it ultimately, if they threw Nathan Wade under the bus for all of this without throwing Fanny under it. Because that judge, who, like I said, worked for her, donated money to her campaign, and was appointed by Kemp, for him to get rid of Fanny Willis, they are going to have to make it so unbelievably obvious that she broke some law, or that she's going to ruin the opportunity to get Trump, that the voters of Fulton County, who are going to decide whether or not Judge McAfee keeps his job, they have to say, oh my gosh, he better get rid of her. It has to be their decision and not his, because if it's his, it's racist and is helping Trump. So I don't think they're there yet, but that's what they have to do.
Yeah. 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 They're going to get away with it.
You're probably right.
They always do.
I don't.
You know, they just laugh at us. They're mocking us. I don't know whoever is behind the CIA that's running things.
They're laughing.
They're just laughing at us.
And that's my point. I see this story today and I'm reading it and people are all excited about it. And I'm sitting here going, both Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade, if this were a real trial, would have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
This would be no question. This is
Brad,
so obvious.
The stakes are so high. Our democracy is at stake. And every day she's on the stand, it's slipping away. And she could save us.
It doesn't matter. Everybody knows she's lying. Everybody does. Anybody who says that she's not is just, they're lying to themselves. They know she's lying. Everybody knows he's lying.
They don't care.
Everybody knows that he bought her all the Baconators in the world she could eat with the taxpayer money that she gave him. That woman probably ate hundreds of thousands of Baconators in a very short period of time.
So many Baconators.
On the public money. And everybody knows that. Yeah. So this is a facade.
Was she wearing the dress backwards?
Some people say she was. Some say she wasn't. I don't know.
I think maybe she likes humiliation ritual.
Or it's just easy access for Nathan.
Easy access. She just wandered around her office, grabbed the first pink dress I just heard people were in the courtroom and I figured it was you. I figured it was my turn. So I just grabbed dress, put on backwards real quick.
Yeah,
and
she was butt naked in the hallway.
Yeah.
And she went,
grab the dress. Oh, shit. They're talking about me in there.
Yeah. That was funny that they asked that. It is interesting the questions that not Trump's, but his co-defendants' lawyers have asked, because I do wonder what they have discovered. Because I've discovered stuff that I'm shocked that they haven't asked yet. I did a whole show on all the shit they should have asked.
Yeah, there were a couple of obvious things where I'm like, why didn't you follow up? And I was like, maybe they're waiting for later.
I mean, the obvious thing to talk about and would set her off is her ex-husband, who she's clearly covered up any information about the relationship, who is part of the same fucking fraternity as Nathan Wade is, as her dad is, as everybody she hired in the Fulton County District Attorney's Office, the Black Illuminati, the Divine Nine. They're all part of the same group. And it's just, there's no evidence. The story about their relationship is weird. And if that wasn't the case, then this wouldn't be relevant. But when part of the question is, did you have an inappropriate relationship and were you hiding it from people intentionally to profit off the taxpayers, then when it looks like you're hiding the details of your relationship with your ex-husband, then that becomes relevant. And so I would want to know, was your ex-husband, who was 13 years older than you when you met, was he married at the time? He was almost 40. That's not a stupid question. And why did you guys get divorced? Was there infidelity involved? Is there a history of this? And do you have a history of hiding it? And that's like the most obvious question to me to ask. And nobody asked it.
Right.
Pisses me off.
She exploded.
Yeah, not to mention, yes, you would have. And even if the judge wouldn't have allowed it, you would have gotten that clip.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Exploded.
And not in the way that Nathan Wade, you know, I was going to say likes it, but I don't think Nathan Wade liked having sex with her. I think he felt like he had to have sex with her.
Oh, he was thinking about something else.
He was probably thinking about like rocks or something.
Yeah. He was thinking about something else. He just had to get through.
Anything else. Yeah. Your toothpicks. It doesn't matter. Anything but Fanny Willis. That is Fanny Willis.
You know, but these people, they make so much money. Fuck them. You know, they traded their souls, you know.
No, you're right. And it's like, so Nathan Wade ran, he's run for judge like three times in Cobb County. He's lost every time. He clearly has aspirations. Like he's ambitious. And she was in a position to further his ambitions. It's right. Just such an obvious, like what's going on is not like.
No, they're all the power hungry little monsters.
But you know, but everybody pretends like they don't know what's going on in the media. It's so obvious what's going on.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Yeah. And she's in a very powerful position. And that's always so funny to me. You know, she's screaming that she's
oppressed.
She's insinuating that she's oppressed, right? And a victim of the system, that she's in one of the most powerful positions. And she's.
Yeah.
So how can. Come on.
No, it's a joke. It's a complete joke.
At what point do we just tell her to go fuck herself?
This is the example of the person. This is why I was tweeting a lot about how she's exactly like Harvey Weinstein, except she can get away with a lot more because she can hide behind the veil of a fat black woman that no one will question.
Right. Right.
I mean, this is how the shit gets abused.
Yeah. She'll wear a dress backwards just to get people talking about that instead of the real thing.
Slowly zipping it down, half the courtroom throws up all over the place. So Denver Attaway says that Nathan Wade, during intercourse with Fanny, was probably thinking about Baconators.
Baconators, yeah, bacon.
Absolutely. I mean, those things do look good, I have to tell you.
You can smell those Baconators.
Oh, right. Oh, God, it's disgusting. So speaking of Brian Kemp, because Brian Kemp is the one who appointed McAfee, and it's this whole illusion for anybody who's outside of Georgia who doesn't know the dynamics. They see, oh, it's a Republican judge appointed by the Republican governor.
Right.
It must be fair. You know, I've explained enough why it's not fair. But here is CNN. So Caitlin Collins of CNN. I have a theory. This is just speculation. I'm not saying it's true. I think that Caitlin Collins and Brian Kemp look at each other a little too lovingly when she interviews them, if you know what I mean.
Oh, really? She likes older men. She looks like the type that likes older men.
I'll show you the beginning here. Of the, yeah. I don't know if I have the whole interview, but it's got the part where you just look at her when the way she talks to him.
I'm Brian Kemp.
Get this up on the screen here. Yeah, she's always... I think she's from Alabama, I believe. I think she's an Alabama fan. And Brian Kemp is a Southern governor with a lot of power. Who's going to get that Trump? And so maybe she gets a little,
She has fierce eyebrows. Fierce.
Yeah, she's an animatronic doll.
I'm going to get you.
And of course, they bring in, this whole segment is about how Hunter Biden laptop is actually Russian. They're back to that, by the way. Biden laptop is Russian.
Yeah, all the crack smoking and banging. All of that's hookers.
Fake.
That's all fake Russian propaganda.
He's never done a drug in his life. Yeah. He never screwed his dead brother's widow.
They stole all those videos. They put them on a laptop. Then they dropped the laptop off at a computer repair place. That's what Russian people do all the time.
It's so dumb. And the stories when they're talking about, the top witness who was the Russian informant for the FBI, which they totally skew it, and they never give any detail. They never say what actual facts that he told that they relied on. Yeah. They act like he was the sole source.
Yeah, there was still a laptop where he's smoking lots of crack and banging lots of hookers.
Absolutely. So they have the Republican view chick, and this is, I don't know, some guy sucks a lot of cock, I'm guessing.
And when he predicts they could be resolved.
Back it up a little bit.
Governor Brian Kemp talking about Trump's legal troubles. We've learned tonight, I should note, that his leadership PAC Trump's, not Kemp's, paid out more than $2.9 million to law firms last month, racked up another $1.9 million in unpaid legal bills at the end of
June. Can I ask you real quick, what is she wearing? What kind of jacket is this?
She's an admiral in the CNN Navy. Yeah. She's on the USS CNN right now.
It's like she just walked off the set of The Love Boat with that jacket on.
Yeah.
January. This is what Governor Kemp said about Trump's legal issues and when he predicts they could be resolved.
I think most voters probably feel the same way I do. I mean, we're a country that was built on laws and the Constitution, and it's up to us really as elected leaders to be the ones that exemplify that in a lot of ways. So we'll see where the process plays out. I think probably they will be ruled on for the election.
We don't hear that from many Republican leaders.
No conspiracy theories, no trashing of the prosecutors or the judge who he appointed in this case, Judge McAfee in the Georgia case. What Brian Kemp has that I don't know many Republicans who do is a fearlessness. He's not scared of Donald Trump.
Whoa.
Donald Trump put up a really talented Republican primary opponent against him, David Perdue, a millionaire former senator. Kemp beat him by a margin of 52. A margin. He took on Trump's best guy and whipped him. And the rest of these Republicans ought to listen to Brian Kemp and watch him. They're all so cowed by Trump, you can hear him moo.
It looks like he's had a lot of experience whipping people the way he did that.
Oh, yeah. Brian Kemp he sounds just like a Disney Basset. Like if Disney had a cartoon Basset Hound, it would be Brian Kemp. You know? You went out.
Sorry, my mic was mute. I was doing my Brian Kemp impersonation. I'm a dog sitting on a porch just saying what's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, just we can't adopt Donald Trump.
And he didn't actually say anything there. All he said was maybe it will be resolved before the election. And they're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's so wonderful. And they say something here at the end of this that is interesting. But this idea that he is fearless. Let me tell you a little story about Brian Kemp that happened a couple of months ago. Garland Favrito of Voter GA went to a fish fry for the GOP that happens, I think, in Perry, Georgia. I don't know if it's in Perry every year, but it happens on an annual basis somewhere. And they all showed up, and when they got there, they had prepaid for their tickets, and there's video of this. They go to try to show their tickets and get in, and they were not allowed in. Because Brian Kemp was there, and there's video of somebody interacting with Brian Kemp. I gotta be honest, looks a little intoxicated, sounds a little intoxicated to me. But they would not let them in, what they told them, because they were wearing voter integrity shirts. And they said, you need to go change your shirt or turn it inside out. And the reasoning was because Brian Kemp did not want to see any of those people who questioned the 2020 election. He did not want to get questioned by them. He didn't want to interact with them. And so he had the people at the door not let them in if they represented any of that. That's not someone who is brave. It's a coward.
Right.
Here, listen to this last little comment here.
And by the way, he did it while passing conservative policies, right, while actually delivering for his state and while not making Trump the focus, but when asked, being honest, being principled and sticking to his core beliefs. He's kind of a model for what a post-Trump Republican should and could look like.
He's a model for Republican Trump. They're setting him up for, I guess, the next election round or whatever.
I love that they just get to define what a Republican should be, what a Democrat should be. And it all kind of, it should all be kind of the same thing, right? Like it should be someone who just sticks to the narrative, toes the party line, feeds the war machine.
Yeah. And I don't want to, I stayed away from this conspiracy, but his daughter's ex-boyfriend, who was part of Loeffler, one of her campaigns, couple years back, died in a car accident. The guy who they're blaming it on is pleading not guilty. I think the case is still going on. I don't know the details of it. All I know is that after that happened, before it happened, Brian Kemp was actually supporting election audits. He was supporting questioning the election, but he took a 180 turn immediately after that. immediately. It's wild. Hmm. Now, the harem wife says that, talking about Caitlin Collins, the porcelain doll here, says she's got hungry eyes.
Yeah.
Well, they can program that with these new sex dolls, so that's a good feature to look forward to. I can't wait to send all of my friends sex dolls for Christmas one year.
Isn't that, that's that song lyric, right?
What, is that a song lyric?
I think it is.
Send my sex, my friends sex dolls?
Am I mishearing a song lyric?
That'd be a good song. I just think that would be so funny. Harrison Deal is what's that. Yeah, Harrison Deal. Exactly. I didn't want to jump to suspicion when that thing first happened.
It is
happened.
A song. That's right.
I want to send my friend sex dolls as a song.
Yeah, dude. It's
should
a classic
be.
80s hit, dude.
It should be, bro.
I want
yeah.
to send my friends sex dolls.
Yeah. Right.
I want to send them right, all my right a said sex friend. Doll. Yeah. No. It's that she's got hungry eyes. If I sang it, it gets stuck in your head.
So I don't have the full clips. I wish I could share. Because when the interview begins, Caitlin Collins has a fetish for old dumbasses who like the Georgia Bulldogs. Brian Kemp's biggest achievement is that he was governor when UGA won the national championship. That's all he cares about. That's all he talks about. He probably barks at people who disagree with him. Like an asshole UGA fan. Not that all UGA fans are assholes. Brian Kemp is. Look at this guy. This guy looks like he's about to, I don't know. Oh, you can't see it. Sorry.
No.
I hate when I do that. I look at the screen and nobody can see what I'm talking about.
I can't see it, Brad.
Look at this guy's expression here. Yeah, it looks like he's about to cock slam Hillary Clinton's face or something. What's going on there?
Man.
I just wish it were Jeffrey Toobin. I wish it were Jeffrey Toobin. Which, by the way, is disinformation. I don't know, the Google art generator, I didn't get to try it before.
Gemini.
Formerly
known as Bard.
Yeah, if you asked it about Jeffrey Toobin, I think it would just show you a picture of Trump. I don't know what it was, but it wouldn't show any white people. Or it would. I think the people who were saying it wouldn't show white people also weren't fully telling the truth. But I do think that it was showing a very biased version. I think to show, you know, black and Asian Vikings and no white Vikings is a little bit manipulative. But this is what's going to write the future history. So,
you know, apparently someone said they tried. One of the prompts was show me a person who likes putting mayonnaise on their sandwich and can't dance. And it still wouldn't generate a white person.
What did it show, I wonder? Hopefully not a black person.
I don't even know if that's true. It's just funny.
Yeah, show me a guy who is banking and he has documented every check he's written for the past 25 years.
Yeah. Oh, I just, it made me think of so many terrible jokes. As soon as I heard this news story, I just, all of a sudden I was like, I better not talk out loud today.
Maybe that's why they did it.
I know. I know.
Bait people.
I know. It's like, I am not going
to
be,
you know, framed as a racist.
Yeah, they're collecting this info on you.
Man, I was thinking about that the other day. So people obviously don't write things down as much as they used to. And I can tell you from my own experience having my Facebook page hacked and stolen. I think you downloaded your data. I think you told me that. I never did.
I did. I also got off Facebook for a while. And then unfortunately, I got back on. And really, and it was because a really good friend of mine, like one of my childhood best friends, he died. And nobody told me for 10 days because they forgot that I wasn't on Facebook.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, I got to get on this stupid thing just so I can hear when people die.
Because people's worlds.
Because they're not going to call me.
Yeah, they get silly. Yeah, because nobody can do that anymore. They're like,
yeah.
It's the.
So, you know, yeah, like.
No, yeah, I never got my data at all. So I lost all of that stuff. I'm still trying to get it from them, but you can't talk to anybody over there. You only talk to bots. But in that same theme, we have this AT&T cell phone outage. Did you experience this at all? Were you awake for the AT&T cell phone outage?
Mine worked fine, man.
Yeah, so you had no problem?
No issues.
So I was awake when it happened, and I was trying to log in to a bank account. And because my Facebook account had been hacked and stolen, I had set up two-step authentication.
Oh, no.
So when I log into my bank account, it says, do you want to text or do you want to call, with the code that you then enter into the website that allows you to get into your bank account. And I just said text, and text never came to my phone. Then I tried again, then I tried to get it to call, and then I tried, then I started to realize something was wrong, you know. I can't get into my bank account. And this outage affected people across the country. It didn't affect everybody, but it did affect millions of people across the country. And it lasted for about 11 hours until they say they got it totally completed. They say they were able to bring certain systems back online gradually. But I'm sitting there like going, what's going on? And then I go to, I'm like, let me go log into my account, my AT&T account. And I go to try and log into my AT&T account, and it lets me log in. But then it says there's no account associated with this account. How can I log in successfully to an account and then it tell me there's no phones or accounts associated with the very account I just logged into, which is what it told me. And I was like, that makes you like, oh shit, did I get hacked again? What's going on?
Yeah.
And I had SOS on my phone. I'd already restarted my phone a couple of times.
Yeah, apparently 911 places were flooded with that.
Totally. Yeah. And so that's when I was like, all right, hopefully this isn't just me. This has to be a broader problem. So I looked it up, and I found on X that this was happening to people all across the country who were awake at that time. It was the middle of the night. It was like 4 a.m. when this was going on. And people were tweeting about it everywhere. But what pissed me off immediately is that I was just on the AT&T website, and they could have had a little red thing at the top of the site that said, our system is having outages. You might experience problems. But they didn't.
Yeah, because it was the Chi-Coms, Brad.
That's what some people think. But tell us, AT&T did not even mention that this happened until it became viral on Twitter or X. So the news about a company you find on X, you don't even find. Yeah.
This is that typhoon thing that China has. You know about this?
The typhoon, is that some sort of cyber hack?
Typhoon something or other.
Sounds fun.
It's like a initiative that China has to disrupt our infrastructure.
Of course. Yeah. So a cyber attack type. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a new warfare.
Those little balloons we're doing.
Yes. I've been going to these government websites, and I don't know what the reality of these maps are. I've looked at multiple of them, but they have just tons of daily cyber attack maps. I mean, this is a $1 trillion industry, being a cyber hacker. Mm. I'm like, I'll go back to college for a cyber hacking degree if one's offered, because these people are making a lot of money being anonymous and making ransom demands and taking over sensitive information. Mm-hmm. And over 2,200 attacks happen in America a day, according to the research data. I haven't looked at this myself, but this is what the data says. It's like one every 39 seconds or something like that. So cyber attacks happen all the time. So it's not unreasonable to think that it's a cyber attack. And a few days before the AT&T outage happened, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, said, get ready for the Chi-Com cyber attacks, which that kind of actually makes me think it wasn't a Chi-Com cyber attack, because I don't trust Christopher Wray.
Or maybe it was. Maybe he knew that you wouldn't believe him, so he says the truth.
And that's the problem. And that's the problem. So, look, Dana, I have a case study. Dana says the 2020 Nashville Christmas Day incident was in front of an AT&T building. I have a case study that was put out by, it was either AT&T or CISA, that goes through how this impacted people's communications and their ability to use their phones across multiple states. So that feels like, retroactively, definitely feels like it was some sort of test. But then there's also, shit really does happen and it does affect things.
Yes.
It's just, let's see what Zach says. If you put a computer on a public IP, it'll get automated attacks and scans constantly and almost immediately. Yeah, I can see that. It's just like crazy, because I just don't know why every infrastructure system in the country and the world doesn't just use the same security that the Dominion voting machines use.
Yeah. I mean, that's infallible.
it's unhackable.
Yeah.
The Dominion voting machines.
Yeah. It's the fortress of solitude.
Totally. But like going through all this, right? I couldn't text. I couldn't call anybody. And it was fine because I didn't need to because it was the middle of the night. But once I realized what was going on, I was like, this is interesting. Like, this doesn't work at all. I can't get into my bank account. Other people rely completely on their phone. Some people pay for everything on their phones. They just tap the thing with Apple Pay, and that's it. And in Ukraine, which is something that we funded and created and are trying to export worldwide, we have gotten over half of the population that's still alive on what's called the Dia app, which is what Zelensky said is the government in an app. It's a fully digitized government. Every document, everything you need to survive in society is on your smartphone app.
I have a strong feeling that they can already see everything on my phone. It doesn't matter.
Of course, but everything that you need to survive is not on your phone. And what I'm saying is they've gotten half of the Ukraine population to get rid of physical documents completely and rely on smartphones. So what if their smartphone goes down? They're completely dependent on it. And so experiencing this myself, I realized, okay, well, two-step authentication sucks.
Yep.
If the grid gets taken over, find a different way. You know, get my CB radio ready, get my satellite phone, get the ham radio. I don't have a ham radio, but I'm getting one. I've already ordered one.
Just wait till they get the electric cars going. Because, you know, when you think about it, an electric car is just an iPhone or an Android with wheels on it. You're just driving your
same thing. And this whole push to get everything online, it makes us helpless. And the more we live our lives on, especially younger generations, where they don't even know how to live off of it.
I know.
If it gets cut off, they have no idea how to survive. I mean, a lot of people now don't have an idea how to survive. You don't have physical books.
You know what I would suggest?
Yeah.
I think what I'm going to do, and I've only recently started thinking about this, maybe I take over my cul-de-sac.
Yeah, you should.
I lock down my cul-de-sac. You know, I'll spare you if you're with me, but if you're not, come on.
We're
in this. Or and I start with my cul-de-sac, then I work on the next cul-de-sac over.
It's cul-de-sac
slowly
cul-de-sac.
Then build an empire cul-de-sac by cul-de-sac.
It's a cul-de-sac empire, and I think that's a powerful thing in the suburbs because you're going to be fighting against the governments, which are in the cities, and they treat their people like shit in the cities.
That's right. That's right.
So here, Troy says, True Prep on Cobb Parkway in Marietta, Georgia, will teach you how to use your new amateur radio and get a license.
Oh, cool.
And I know a common friend of ours, Bob, has done that with his son. Got his ham radio license, so we can be prepped or we can understand the need to be prepped, but until we're affected by something that takes away the convenience of modern society, I don't know if it feels as urgent until that happens, you know? And for me, even though this wasn't like a major thing, not being able to get to my bank account created a little bit of anxiety.
Let me tell you, I have gone down this YouTube rabbit hole recently where I've just been watching home footage from the 80s. And I started watching it and it just started drawing me in. And one of the compelling things that I'm noticing is, first of all, the way people are reacting to the camera. They're all like, hey, you know, when the camera shows up. And then
not used to it.
And nobody's on a phone, man. And you just notice the slower pace.
Yeah, man.
Everything was just... It wasn't all these moments. Yeah, the convenience of this phone and the internet has come at a high cost.
Well, we should play that video on a future show. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I'll send them to you. They're great.
That'd be cool. But what about maps, right? So if your phone doesn't work, what if the internet on your phone stops working? The internet of mine still worked, but the other stuff didn't. Some people on Twitter said their internet didn't work. What about your maps? How are you going to get anywhere?
Yeah. My phone, I'm wondering, my phone is still, I just kept my out-of-state phone number when I moved to Georgia. I didn't change it because I'd already had it for 15 years. So I'm wondering if it's because it wasn't in one of those states, the numbers from a state that wasn't affected.
Maybe.
But yeah, that doesn't, yeah. I mean.
It's weird.
But
I don't know
I be on the local network? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand.
I don't get it either.
I don't understand how my I know how my car works, but I don't know how this fucking
right.
This
I don't
thing
get.
Works.
There's nothing I could do to like make sure mine isn't affected. And yeah. The fact is, whatever they say, the explanation for this is, as I mentioned, cybersecurity. I mean, this is the new warfare. There's going to be some sort of outage. That's going to be warfare related. Hopefully, it's not here, but it probably will be at some point. And so. Kind of readying ourselves, like really getting serious about some of the prep things, you know, like what am I dependent on? What do I need my iPhone for, my smartphone to do? And then making sure you have other ways to do it without it. Writing down phone numbers. You know, I used to remember every phone number.
I still remember
every
one of my friends' phone numbers.
Me too. From a kid.
Still remember all of them.
Absolutely. But now you never know your friend's phone numbers because it just goes right into your phone.
In fact, they're going to just get rid of the phone numbers. It's just going to be your face.
Yeah, right.
You won't even, there'll be a number assigned to it. Why do I even need to know what your fucking number is? I just go, that looks like Brad.
Yeah, it could be a deep fake too. They could manipulate the whole thing. But yeah. I was reading this thing where it was a prepper thing. I started reading while this was going on because I was like, shit. This made me realize I'm prepped a little bit, but I'm not prepped enough.
Yeah, well, the thing is, look, I get the whole thing behind prepping. I don't have the funds for it. I'm just going to have to risk it. I got a couple of guns, and I'm smarter than the average bear. Maybe I'll make it. Maybe I won't. That's where I'm at.
Right.
With it.
Well, I don't mean like spending thousands of dollars on it. I know some people do that.
My resources are limited and I can't spend them all. I'm prepping for a future, you know, apocalypse.
Well, so here's the advice I found, which I thought was good advice. It was just like, how are you going to communicate if your cell phone goes out? That's one thing to make sure.
Oh, yell real loud. And
you can have the ham radio.
Strings with cups.
Totally. You know? String two cups together, have Morse code, a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
Which my dad always did this.
Yeah. Carrier
have a location
pigeons.
You're all going to meet at if communication is out and nobody can get in touch. Everybody goes to the same location.
And then you'll just have to wait and you won't be able to play games on your phone.
Can't play PlayStation.
Or watch videos. Just
you
can't
do anything.
You just have to stare at a crack on the wall.
You'll have to sit and reflect for the first time in 15 years. And then you'll be like, oh my gosh.
You will be in the moment.
You'll have more insights in that 15 minutes than you've ever had in your life.
Yeah.
Smoke signals. Yeah. Says Denver Attaway, rub two sticks together. Another thing I saw was write down those numbers in your phone that you want to be able to get in contact with if you don't remember them and put them in your pocket or put them in
your phone.
Yeah,
and then do what? Go to a payphone?
Go to
what are you
going to
fucking do with the numbers? If this goes down, what are you going to do with the fucking phone numbers?
You go find some grandma who still has a landline and you call them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the landlines have been replaced with cellular landlines.
No, you're right.
There's no fucking place to go to make a fucking phone call.
Right. And so that's why I think, like, so it's not just getting like a ham radio or something that helps. All the people you want to communicate with also have to have one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you're just kind of fucked. I know. just keep your tank, keep your gas tank full.
And your electric car charged.
Electric car charged. Get a little ammo together and don't trust your neighbor.
Totally. Well, if they're hungry, don't trust them. If there's
don't trust your neighbor.
Then they'll eat.
I'll be looking out my fucking windows.
Yeah, dude. Somebody walking around. Somebody knocks on your door with a fork and knife in their hand looking like a little rabid. Don't let them in. Say, oh, we're not home. Sorry. All right.
Yeah.
So.
Man, I got to get going soon.
All right. Well,
I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. If you got to go, you can dip out. I'm going to hit a couple more stories, but just let me know when you want to dip out. It's totally cool.
Okay.
I know.
I'm having a blast, but I do have to get, I got to get up early because I get to work on Saturday.
I know. So.
Because I wanted to be funny in school.
Speaking of which, like the Fannie Willis thing, part of the argument I'm seeing is that nobody stays up that late doing work. And I'm going, well, I'm up all night. Like those are. A lot of people actually do work during those hours. So that's not a good condemning argument. So whether it's true or not, that could be an argument she makes. But Fulton County, right? This is so funny to me. And I've talked about this attack in Fulton County, speaking of cyber attacks. You know that Fulton County has not been in control of their own government for the past month.
I have recently heard this. I think you might have told me this the other day.
I didn't realize it was an entire month. I knew that it was a cyber attack. But for a full month, the county that is in control of the most consequential criminal trial in American history hasn't been in control of their own government. And nobody says anything about that. Nobody's like,
there's no story there.
It's nothing.
There's no story there. I hope it's, if there would be a story there, if it was white supremacist hackers.
Well,
there would be a story.
But that is where I think this is going to go. So I think all of this is built to create this idea that Russia is going to hack the 2016 election.
Oh, it's
the 2024 already, election. Like they said, they did the 2016 election.
They're already laying the groundwork. They're laying the groundwork with a bunch of bunch of possible seeds. Something's going to grow and they're going to harvest it and you're never going to hear the end of it.
So, yeah, and I should say this. I failed to mention this. I think that there's a possibility that what happened with AT&T was a live training simulation, which I read through all their documents, and they talk about doing live training simulations in real-world environments so that they can know how to react when the inevitable cyber attack comes. So I think that would be indistinguishable from an actual cyber attack, so I don't know if there's any way to tell. But the fact is, with all this shit going on, as we see in Fulton County, and as we see, there's the largest medical healthcare company, which has information from 1/3 of the population, got hacked on the same day. They're definitely going to be doing training simulations. It's just hard to tell. It's really like, we really fucked up with this digital dependency type shit. And Fulton County is the only place nobody seems to care about that.
It's insane.
Everywhere else we care. Before, so the federal government's offering $10 million or $15 million to find the people associated with this Lockbit 3, I think they're called, group that they say is responsible for hacking Fulton County and some other big businesses. But that's like chump change. They're not going to get anybody to turn on Lockbit because they're making more money than that, holding people ransom around the world. And Fulton County, what they have done in response to this, besides staying silent for a full month, they finally made their first statement yesterday saying we got a few systems back up online. What they have done, though, is they have taken $10 million of taxpayer money and they are giving it to the company. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but they're paying the company that was responsible for creating Obama's healthcare.gov to fix their cybersecurity vulnerabilities.
I love it.
The company that is most famous for not being able to build a website is getting $10 million of Fulton County taxpayer dollars to not do. And on top of that, they got to pay for Fannie's sex vacation.
Yeah, it's probably just in cash they had lying around. What, you know?
It's just $15,000 they had.
$15,000 they had just lying around.
It's just crazy to me. And it talked about how they're expediting the process. This was going to be a long-term plan, but we're speeding up this cyber security defense and counter-defense, which is attack, is what counter-defense means. To put that in, I think this is just more, of course, there are obvious cybersecurity threats, but it's just like the military industrial complex where they say there's a threat so they can get all this public money to pay for new weapons development from Lockheed Martin, which, by the way, the former head of AT&T, who then went to the cybersecurity infrastructure agency in the government, in the Department of Defense, is now one of the heads of Lockheed Martin. It's just such a con of these people stealing public money to fuck their own ass with new weapons.
Well, on that, I got to go because I'm going to go do the same thing, dude.
I got a few new weapons.
I got a few new weapons.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Sounds fun.
I'll send you some dick pics.
No, dude. Send me some in there.
Yeah. 12th. I'm going to say, you got to get ready. I'm sending you 250 a week.
That's fantastic, dude. Now I'll delete all my, I'll make sure I got enough room on my storage. I appreciate dude, I you hanging out, Ian.
Yeah, I had a blast. I'll talk to you later, man. Yeah.
All right, okay. Man. I'll see
Bye,
you.
Bye, everybody. See you.
And so here's what I'll show you with before I get out of here. I think this stuff is interesting. I don't know if everybody else does, but when it comes to conversations about what happened with AT&T, let me show you a few things I found on AT&T's website that were interesting. It just I mean, AT&T is the largest cellular carrier in the country. So that makes them an obvious target for a cyber hacker. If I were a cyber hacker who wanted to hold some company ransom, AT&T would be at the top of my list if I want to make the big bucks. And obviously AT&T knows that. And obviously the government, who has many contracts with AT&T, knows that. So they're not going to sit around with their thumbs up their ass and not prepare. They're going to do live simulation trainings. And I cover the Vigilant Guard trainings that they did here in Georgia, where they like blew up trains. And they didn't tell people, so the public thought it was real, even though it was just a whole training thing. I think that they do this a lot, and that's the best practice. You know, a scrimmage is the best practice, especially when the team you're scrimmaging against has no idea it's not real. And, no, I got my dog here that I'm babysitting. I think you got some of you guys might have heard this in the last show, getting very vocal again. Distracted me, but I want to show you what I found on AT&T's page, which is not surprising. I'm not surprised by this, but with cybersecurity being such a focus, I think it's worth looking at some of this stuff to see what they're actually doing. And here is that up on the screen? No, it's not. Hold on a second. Bumble, you stop that, girl. What? No, that's the wrong. Hold on. Sorry. Share. There you go. Okay. What's going on here? Something's going on with StreamYard. Hold on one second. Oh, all right, there it is. All right, so you see there, I did a search on their website, on AT&T's website, which is a cybersecurity website. I found their cybersecurity website because on the day that the outage happened, AT&T had posted, before the outage happened, a blog post about the dangers of cyber attacks, specifically with banking, which struck me because I was unable to get into my bank account at the time because of what seemed to the outside observer to be a cyber attack type incident. So I thought that was strange that they had that. So then I just typed in, you can do a specific search on somebody's website, only their website if you want to concentrate it. You can type in site, S-I-T-E, and then colon or semicolon. Which one is just the two dots? I can't ever remember. And then you type the website you want to search specifically, and then you type in quotes what you want to search. And so I did that, and I searched simulation. And here are the results for simulation, is what you see on screen right now. And you can see the top search result is the emerging trend. Wait, is that the right? The emerging trend of gamification in cybersecurity. Then test your, then the second one, which that's a new one, actually. I haven't looked at that one yet. But it says gamification can be helpful in providing testing and simulation for a custom cybersecurity strategy while stimulating a workforce at the same time. The one that I saw that piqued my interest was test your defenses, adversary simulation. And then you have the next one, adversary simulation with USM Anywhere. Adversary simulation services, because they offer this. They offer adversary simulation services, AT&T does. They will go to you, whether you're a government or a corporation, and they will pretend to be hackers in real-world scenarios. This is what this service is. I've read all about it. And here, let me show you another page here on their website. And this isn't something just to think about in terms of AT&T. I'm talking about all major corporations who deal with the government are doing the same exact things as these people, regardless of how independent they claim to be. Here's another page here. This is the simulation services. Adversary simulation services from AT&T. Adversary simulation, aka red teaming. From our cybersecurity consulting, lets customers test their security operations. This is penetration testing. This is table, like Event 201 was a tabletop simulation, the one that told us what was going to happen with COVID. And I'm telling you, these corporations are telling us what's going to happen with the other shit, is my point here. And you can see the middle, the red team exercise and all the bullshit over here. I mean, obviously, AT&T tests is shit, so I have no reason to believe that what happened the other day was not a test simulation conducted by the government and AT&T. Let me show you one more, then I'll move on. So this is this entire document is an AT&T document called The CEO's Guide to Cyber Breach Response. And tabletop exercise is listed like 100 times in this document, but I specifically limited this search here to simulation because it says, just as your organization holds regular crisis management exercises for various scenarios, an incident response plan must be regularly tested so that all involved parties are crystal clear about their respective roles and responsibilities. These roles must be reinforced through regular tabletop testing and other simulations. The goal is to eliminate the guesswork and uncertainty that can arise from a potentially chaotic situation. And then it goes on to say later in the document, tabletop exercises are critical, but they also have their limits, at least from a technical response perspective. IT and security teams can take their incident response planning to a step further with more realistic tests, such as simulation exercises and full-scale testing, during which one or more systems are shut down and brought back up at an alternate site. There's passages like this throughout this. And this is like a 60-page document. This one's a 30-page document, but there's other documents just like it. They just talk about how they do this. And then one final one here, which I found to be, there's like a whole group. It's called the 5G Security Testing Bed. And there was an article, a press release, about how AT&T, Verizon, and the third big cellular company were all involved in a government simulation. This is the day this outage happened. They were all involved in the same government simulation that was testing their ability to keep drones connected using 5G, no matter how far the drones went. And they were doing it on the premise of shoring up their cybersecurity. So on counter cybersecurity defense purposes, which is what they're going to use, you know, tell people they need to be okay with their taxpayer money being spent on. But there's this thing called the 5G security test bed, which says enhancing product security and threat response in real world testing environment. And AT&T is a major part. They're one of the main producers of this testing bed or whatever. It's, I don't know if that had anything to do with the outage. That's not the point. The point is, all of these companies are in bed with the government, and we don't know what they're telling. If what they tell us is the truth, and get your satellite and your bug out bags and your ham radio, get them ready because this is some bullshit. And Bumble, you're gonna have to relax, girl. We got a few more minutes here. So Zach says tabletop exercises are basically playing D&D at work. Now I know that they are, but they also have exercises that go beyond that. They have the full-scale training exercise. They have a chart, which I don't have on me, but the chart lists the scale of what the exercises are, and the full-scale exercises are actual, like, real-world training exercises. And what they'll do is they'll put a notification on a random forum board online or on some random, on a tree near the location that informs the public that there's going to be something that looks like an actual crisis going on. But nobody actually sees that. There's been stories about how this happened in MARTA multiple times where people thought there was a mass shooting going on in MARTA, but it was actually a government simulation about what would happen if a mass shooting went on in MARTA. And so the line blurries about when is this a simulation and when are you just out here doing some real shit? And since this AT&T thing happened overnight, when it could give them the opportunity to test their systems and test their response at a time when there's going to be, because it's like 4 a.m., which is 1 a.m. in the West Coast, when there's going to be the least amount of people disrupted who notice. I think that if I were in charge of it, that's probably the time frame I would say, let's shut it off then for a few hours. Yeah, I don't know if that's the case. I could be full of shit. But they do this, is all I'm saying, is they do this shit. And if they're preparing for it, so should we. We should also prepare for it as well. Thank you, Denver. I appreciate that. All right. I went down a real rabbit hole looking down all this AT&T shit. Because AT&T is definitely trying to position themselves as the cellular company that is the leader in preventing cybersecurity problems before they happen. And then this thing happens. So they're either fools or they're testing. Or maybe it was the Chi-Coms. I don't fucking know. Who knows? How do we tell the difference? That's another thing. The only way we're ever going to be able to tell the difference in what's a Chi-Com or an individual actor, or maybe a domestic MAGA, which they'll call it, is if they tell us. Unless you're like a super genius hacker, we'll have no way of being able to tell who it was that conducted a cyber attack on us. I think they want to start. I think they're trying to put this in the public mind so that people are expecting it. Not to say that it doesn't happen, but like I said earlier, I think they're going to say that the election was hacked and it was stolen from Biden or whoever. And there was some MAGA domestic threat who was sucking Putin off. Who was responsible? And they're going to say all of the things that they called conspiracy theories in 2020 because they're arrogant and they think they can get away with anything. And I despise them. I really fucking despise these fucking liars. All right, I'll do a couple more quick stories before we get out of here. So Biden, and this is just another reason that I don't like Biden. Biden recently, earlier this week, gave away his dog Commander because they say he bit like 27 Secret Service agencies. I'm going to call bullshit on that story. They would have us believe that Biden's dog, it took 27 bites before they, you know, rehomed him or whatever they call it. 27 bites. Usually you do that after a handful. That 27 bites. There's more to this story. Not to mention, he had, what was the previous dog's name? It started with an M. It was another commander-like name. This is the second dog Biden's had in 2 years that he's gotten rid of. The first dog that he had was a pound dog. Got it from a shelter. And the whole reason that they did this promotional campaign for Biden to bring this dog into the White House, Major, his name was Major is what it was it was a wag to riches story. It was the first dog ever to go from a shelter to the White House. And they were contrasting it with how Trump didn't have a dog in the White House and Trump's so evil and cold because he had no dog. And so they bring this dog in as a prop. They probably pay no attention to it. You know, Biden doesn't give a shit about it. You know, Jill, who Biden says the key to their marriage is sex. The whole nation threw up when that came out today. It's not to say that's not, it's just disgusting. And when you start looking at pictures of them too, it just looks like she's there for it's just Biden's a disgusting person. He doesn't need to be talking about sex is all I'm saying. But Major bit some people and then they got rid of Major in December of 2021, then brought in another fucking dog who was all of a sudden in all of the pictures. They didn't talk about Major anymore. And he was a great dog. And until now, he's gone. He bit 27 people. He bit 27 fucking people. And he's gone. I don't believe that. But Major and Commander are both gone. In 2 years, it's not the fucking dog's problem. It's the people's problem. They brought the dogs in for props. And they didn't give a shit about him. You know, Biden doesn't care. And the dog, you know what was probably going on? Is the freaking Secret Service agents were probably pulling Viagra out of their pocket and handing it to President Biden, you know, to get him real horny. And he probably just tries to screw anything when that happens. And the dog was like trying to stop it. It was trying to prevent rape from happening. And this dog was a vigilante. And so they got it out of there and they blamed it on the dog. It was just trying to save lives is all it was doing. To me, this speaks volumes. If somebody has two dogs who they can't have any control over, yet they're the leader of the free America, the strongest country in the world, bullshit. The Biden is such a piece of shit. It's just infuriating. But he's got a speech impediment. He's got a speech impediment. He's an old. Now, shut the fuck up. Biden gives away Commander dog after drew blood with attacks on Secret Service at the vacation home. Look, you see that? They're only pictured. They have Commander on screen here, pictured as a puppy with Joe and his wife, Dr. Jill. Because as a bigger dog, it probably just bit Biden because it knew Biden was a piece of shit. As a puppy, they can get cute pictures. Man, it pisses me off when they start fucking with those dogs like that. All right, last thing. Troy says, will the next dog be cat? You're right. It definitely. It'll probably be. Let's hope they don't name the next dog Bo. You know, after Hunter Biden's son, Bo, or his dead brother. Those damn UFOs. And, you know, the UFO story is another interesting one. I won't rant on that every man, but they're doing something with the UFOs. Thank you. Instead of the semicolon, the colon. Thank you. Yeah, I always get those confused. I'm not a grammar Nazi. Like, if I were smart enough when it comes to grammar, being a non-grammar Nazi, like, I would not be a grammar Nazi. Not to say that you were, but I've known grammar Nazis. Hasn't, like, Twitter really changed the way people use grammar, too? It's interesting. Nobody uses periods or just... I think people try and speak the way that they speak on social media and try to convey that in the way that it's... I don't know. I know all the words are shrunk. We're all going to speak in emojis basically in like 50 years. I just imagine, I would love to like be able to, Bumble, hold on, girl. I would love to be able to see what historical records people look at 150 years from now. It's just a bunch of Twitter posts that have been curated. Maybe, if all of those things last. I told you earlier, all of my Facebook data is gone. So that could have been historical record that's used. Or maybe it's kept in a warehouse somewhere. I don't know. A few more comments here. Well, I got that one. D&D. All right. So here's the last thing I'm going to do. Then I'll get out of here. Thank you guys for hanging out, by the way. And that one guy says fat black women in the government are absolutely the worst. Well, I have to say that Stacey Abrams and Fannie Willis are not doing fat black women a service the way that they behave because they're tyrants. I don't know if you guys are baseball fans, but there's an episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza does the opposite one episode because he says, everything in my life, everything I've ever done, every time I've followed my instincts, it's terrible. Nothing ever works for him. And he says, I'm going to do the opposite of my instincts all the time. And so he just starts doing the opposite. And it starts off with him noticing a woman at the counter of the deli they're at, and he walks up to her And he takes a deep breath and he says, does the opposite. He says, my name is George Costanza. I'm a 37-year-old bald man and I live with my parents. And the woman goes, hello. And so everything starts working for him because he does the opposite. And he ends up getting a job with the Yankees. And then he ends up coaching the players on their batting, their swing. And then he ends up saying, hey, I think you guys should change the material of your uniforms to cotton. It would be more comfortable. And it is at first, but then they wash it and it shrinks and it starts ripping and it just, it messes the team up. And this is what this story makes me think about as Major League Baseball players are miffed, according to the AP, at the sport's new see-through pants. See-through baseball pants, they say. You can see on the image here where you can see this guy's boxers through his pants. Why would they even do that? I mean, it's just ridiculous looking. Look at that. You can see the lines of their underwear. The Philly shortstop says everyone hates them. Major League Baseball officials say the new uniforms improve mobility by providing 25% more stretch, and also they will dry 28% faster. So it's a climate change thing? We're going to save on the emissions from using the fucking dryers too much? The lettering, the sleeve emblems, and numbering are less bulky in an attempt to make uniforms more breathable, which is the same thing George Costanza said. Commissioner Rob Manfred previously said he expects criticism to fade. I don't think you do. I mean, this is weird looking. You wouldn't want to wear that out at a bar. Hey, look, you can see my underwear through my pants. I think they would prefer it to be a little less breathable than this right here. They're going to keep it, I guess. There's a little bit of a distant shot there. You can still see all you see is the underwear. So you know who wears whitey tighties. You know who's got the boxers on. I bet this was because of climate change. I hope it was. Fuck it. Why not? Do everything for fucking climate change. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Well, why not have them playing gym shorts if they want it to be breathable? We've decided to give the Major League Baseball players 1950s basketball gym shorts that their balls can fall out of. You might see a testicle flapping out when someone is sliding into first base. But it's more breathable. It's more flexible. It enables them to play better. Just don't look at the balls. It's your fault if you look at the balls. Denver Attaway says AT&T has invested more than $140 billion in American infrastructure over the past 5 years to connect Americans to a brighter future. Yeah, I think that a quote from that thing I put on screen? I think it probably was. All right, let's get that off screen. Major League Baseball. Testicles. I mean, it's just, who wants to see that? Maybe some chicks do, but I don't think chicks even want to see that. I think chicks like, I can't wait to go look at these dudes' boxer shorts shining through their baseball pants. Maybe a testicle will flop out. I mean, it's not like a boob. You know, dudes want a boob to flop out. I don't think chicks want a testicle to flop out. I think it's different. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm not a chick. I'm just saying. Denver says, hell, just have them play in stripper. Why not? And Daisy, put Daisy Dukes on them, like Denver says. Daisy Dukes and give them back tattoos. And if they lose, you know, they got to whore themselves out to the commissioner of baseball. I don't know. It's just a little bit different, you know, weird is all. I think I'm going to get out of here. I think that's it for today. I appreciate you guys hanging out, letting us get a little bit crazy. Oh, shit. Real quick. I'll do this. Why not? So Trump did his VP list. You guys might have seen this, but let's run through it real quick. Then we're done. Which I would say this. Maybe they should have these politicians wear these baseball uniforms. or the ones we're talking about, maybe they should be required to wear thongs when they do debates. Maybe, you know, you have the wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl years ago. Well, when are we going to see a wardrobe malfunction happen during a presidential debate? When is a ball going to flop out or a titty during a presidential debate? I mean, we already have presidential campaigns for the Supreme Court Justice of Wisconsin calling the opponent a horse fucker. So why not have a testicle flop out during a presidential debate? Jake Tapper would leap out of his seat to go suck on that thing. I guarantee it, if he could beat Brian Stelter to it, which neither one of them would beat Anderson Cooper to it. Trump confirms names on vice president shortlist, and those names are Tim Scott. That was my first pick months ago, but that was before he got married. That's before they sent Tim Scott to, like, what's it called, where they send gay people to camp to try and make them straight again? That's what they sent Tim Scott to, and then they found him a wife. I thought it'd be better if Tim Scott was his VP, if Tim Scott were openly gay. Him pretending to be straight and look real awkward with his wife, I don't think works as well. Vivek Ramaswamy, which that would be a lot of fun if Vivek was. Ron DeSantis. Brian Donalds, I don't know who that is. Kristi Noem, she's a looker. And then Tulsi Gabbard. I don't know. I don't know if any of that's true. You guys think he's going to pick from that group, or you think it's just a bunch of bullshit? And, you know, the way Trump does things, he might select outside of that group. Let's hope he doesn't select Nikki Haley outside of that. I don't know. It's just all... It's looking like Tim Scott, honestly. Because Tim Scott's kind of subservient. Isn't he? Didn't he come off that way when you watch him at Trump rallies? And maybe that they want somebody in like that. But maybe he's a plant. Who knows? He does come from South Carolina, just like Nikki Haley. And he is married to Nikki Haley's daughter, which I don't know how he got married again, seeing as he's married to Nikki Haley's daughter. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look up Nikki Haley's daughter's husband and look at the TikTok or Instagram photo of Nikki and her daughter and what looks like a young Tim Scott who's married to her. All right. Okay, so thanks for... Oh, I'll check this parody out. You said it's a Twitch parody about Trump versus AI Biden. Yeah, I'll check that out. All right, guys, thanks for hanging out. Oh, you want to get Monica for vice president? Well, you know, if... I think you could bring a number of people outside of the mainstream in, and that would shake things up for sure. And Troy says, she was mean and nasty to him. I don't think he picks Nikki Haley. I don't like the Indian guy. It'd be much better than that. Talking about Vivek. If Trump picks Nikki Haley, he's going to lose a lot of people. I can't imagine him picking Nikki Haley. She's a warmonger. Maybe the others are too, but they're at least they're not openly saying they're. She's basically Lindsey Graham with what we think is a vagina. Maybe Lindsey Graham has a vagina too. I don't know. It's hard to really get a quote out of Lindsey Graham because he spends a lot of time having sex in the halls of Congress, I'm guessing. I think that they should release the actual January 6th footage that is damning, you know, the secret January 6th footage, not the cameras from the outside. The cameras that are hidden inside the walls of Congress, which we know are there because of those recent stories. And then it would reveal that what really happened on January 6th is a bunch of congressmen having gay sex with their pages. Because you know, if you extract those hidden cameras, that's all you're going to see. They have literally told us that with these two stories in the past few months. Those aren't the only two. That's a disgusting place you never want to take a blacklight to, is all I'm saying. Politics is disgusting. All right, we'll talk to you guys next time. Have a fantastic rest of your day.